Verse 15, though, picks up, "But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from the one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of a grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." Lord, thank you that we can reign, we can rise, we will rise. Lord, thank you for the breaking the power of the one who taunted Adam, has taunted us for years, mankind for thousands of years. Thank you for breaking the power of that one. We no longer need to live in bondage, but we can be free, and we can rise. We can live with you these days and worship you and adore you and revel in you, that the world might see you in your glory and many would come to Christ. We pray that you'd use us to that end, and we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Tom. As Tom mentioned, we are making our way through the book of Romans, and we have spent quite a bit of time here in chapter 5 already, and a couple more Sundays to go. We ended last week looking at what happened because of the sin of one man, Adam. And we noted that because of his sin, death entered the world. It didn't just enter, but then it spread to all men because all sinned. And it even became the reigning force in the world. Death became the reigning force. Everybody dies. Everybody dies physically. But then that begs the question, is that fair? Is it fair that everyone must die because of the sin of one man? Is that really fair? I remember well in high school gym class, there was always that one guy who was slow running around the track. There was always that one guy, he couldn't climb to the top of the rope, he couldn't do push-ups, he couldn't do sit-ups. And because he was so out of shape, the coach would make everybody work harder because of him. Everyone had to do extra laps. Everyone had to do sit-ups. Everyone had to do extra push-ups because of me. I mean, because of that guy. Just kidding. It really wasn't me. You don't even believe me now. Anyway, that hardly seems fair that everyone, even the strongest, would have to be penalized because of one person's failure. And it wasn't me. Okay? I'm beginning to understand how Adam must feel. Now, those that are skeptical, okay, of the Word of God, they've asked the question, is it really fair? Is it really fair to condemn every person that has ever lived because of one sin through one man? Why and how can that be just? That we, here we are, 6,000 years after the fact, after what Adam did, and we're still living with the curse and condemnation of the disobedience of one man. How can that be fair? Well, not only is it fair, but I think it is a demonstration of the brilliance of God condemning all of humanity because of one. I think it's brilliant. In fact, in particular, looking at today's passage, I believe only God could come up with a plan like this. Okay? Think about this for a minute. And just a couple side notes here before we get into this. But first of all, if God had tested each human being individually, the result would have been the same. The result would have been the same. We often look at Adam, we point a finger, man, you really messed things up for us. But really, had God tested each individual, we wouldn't have fared any differently. It could just as easily say, Craig plunged humanity into sin and death. We could just as easily say, it's Jeff's fault, okay? We can't point a finger like that. The result would have been the same, disobedience and death. However, by condemning the entire human race through one man, Adam, God would be able to save the human race through the one man, Jesus. In fact, the word one is a very, very key word in Romans chapter 5. In fact, the word one appears 11 times in chapter 5, but 7 of those times are in the 3 verses that we are looking at this morning. God sent one because of one. That is both fair and wise. And that is the theme, really, of our passage. Some have called this passage a comparison. Some have called it a contrast. I think we find both. And as we noted last week, the comparison is simply in the fact that one man broke it and one man would fix it, okay? The comparison really is very, very minimal, but great is the contrast that we find in our passage today. So, through three contrasts that we're going to find in these three verses, we're going to see Jesus more than fix what Adam broke. Last week we saw what happened through one man's sin. This week we see what happens through one man's sacrifice. From Romans 5, 15 through 17. And everything that we look at this morning will be the result of Jesus Christ. All the repair end of things, okay? The result of Jesus Christ on the cross. And our passage refers to it as the free gift. For God gave His only begotten Son. And the first contrast we find through one man's sacrifice is the gift contrasted the offense. The gift contrasted the offense. Let's go ahead and read verse 15. It says, "But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many." Now, indeed, there is a bit of a scriptural paradox here in that verse 4:14, where we ended last week, told us that Adam is like Christ. And now here in the very next verse, verse 15, we are told that the free gift of Christ is nothing at all like the offense of Adam. So which is it? Are they alike or not? Are they different or not? Well, let me explain it this way. They're both. And I think I can illustrate it this way. Imagine for a minute that I told you over the past year, there was found 2 errors in the church financial books. One was about a $10,000 error, and the other was a $2,000 error. Now, are they both errors? Absolutely, they're both errors. And in that regard, they are very much alike. But in what way could they be entirely different? One's positive, one's negative. Yeah, they're both errors. So in that regard, they are the same. But in the other regard, they are on extreme opposites. They couldn't be more opposite one another. Okay. Now, I didn't realize that Dave, our treasurer, would not be here this morning when I gave this illustration. So remember, I started, let's imagine for a minute. So before you start thinking really mean thoughts about Dave, there were no $10,000 or $2,000 error. In fact, as I called him and asked him if I could actually use an illustration like that, he said, yeah, that's fine. However, there was an error. 44 cents. And even that was in the positive, okay? So anyway, but this is one way in which something can be alike, yet at the same time, completely and utterly different. And that's really what we find in our passage. Now, in comparison, and here's kind of the likeness, first off. In comparison, both Adam and Christ affected many. Both of them affected many. In Adam, many died. In Christ, many are offered the gift of eternal life, okay? And it is the exact word, many, in each case. The word is actually literally translated, the many. And that terminology, the many, is something we're going to find, Lord willing, in weeks. We're going to see it again. But what it refers to is all of the people in a particular group. And in this particular case, we are talking about all mankind, okay? Because all mankind dies because of Adam. All die. And in Christ, that same all are offered a gift. They are offered a gift. Not just to a select many, but to the many. And that's where the comparison ends. That's where the comparison ends. In contrast, Christ replaced the penalty with abounding grace. According to the verse, what is the penalty for Adam's offense? It says all die. That's right. Many died. Many died. All right. Death, physical and spiritual, is what the penalty is. Because of Adam's sin, death entered the world. All people would now physically die. They would spiritually die, meaning they would forever be separated from God, the very source of life. But much more, and that's another term we're going to see several times through the rest of this chapter, but much more through the gift of Jesus, grace abounded to the many. That much more emphasizes that Jesus did not just reverse or even repair what Adam did, but his grace abounded. It overflowed. Yes, Jesus conquered sin. Yes, Jesus defeated death, but much more by grace. Jesus offers eternal life in the presence of God in heaven. That's better than what Adam had. That's better. In John 10:10, Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Romans 8:16-17 says that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We are actually now seen by God as equal to Christ in Christ. All right? Where the many died through the offense of one man, much more the gracious love of God abounded. It overflowed for the benefit of the many through one man's sacrifice. Secondly, this morning, through one man's sacrifice, justification contrasted condemnation. Justification contrasted condemnation. Let's look at verse 16. It says, and the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. While one sin condemned the whole world to death, the justification that Jesus is offering does not just reckon or adjust that one sin. It reckons, it adjusts every sin. Think about this, and if we want to be technical here, if one sin by one man condemned the whole world to death, doesn't it stand to reason that a second sin would add another world-condemning penalty? And perhaps a third sin, another condemning penalty? That's the second death. That's the second death. Terry Lynn Nichols, maybe some of you recognize that name. Terry Lynn Nichols took part in the planning and preparation for the bombing of the federal building in Oklahoma City back in 1995, in which 168 people were killed, including 19 children who were there at a daycare. Well, a federal trial in 1997, Terry was convicted of conspiracy to use a weapon of mass destruction and 8 counts of involuntary manslaughter for killing federal law enforcement personnel, and he was sentenced to life imprisonment. Now, as we look at the number ratio here, that hardly seems fair. And the courts didn't think it was fair either, because in a later trial in 2004, he was then convicted of 161 counts of first-degree murder, including one homicide, and he was then sentenced to 161 consecutive life terms in prison. For those of you that were in our Wednesday evening Bible study last spring, that's a form of lex talionic justice. Punishment fits the crime, okay? 161 accounts. Since Terry cannot be executed 161 times, he is serving 161 consecutive sentences, meaning only when one is over does the other one begin. I don't think he's going to make it. And this is where the justification of Jesus contrasts the condemnation of Adam. Adam caused every person that ever lived to be issued, and really they deserve an eternal sentence. But the one life of Jesus paid it all. It paid it all. Now, bear with me for a minute while we first look at the comparison, kind of the likeness here, okay? In comparison, both condemnation and justification satisfy God's holy character, okay? It is in God's character to both condemn sin and justify or forgive sin, both of them. The wages of sin is death, and because God is perfectly just, man is condemned to death and sin must be paid for. However, God is also perfectly loving and forgiving. So in comparison, both condemnation and justification satisfy God's holy character. But how can they both be satisfied at the same time? Well, that is where the contrast comes in. In contrast, Christ replaced the condemnation caused by one with justification offered to all. Let's read verse 16 again. It says, "And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification." Christ replaced condemnation caused by one with justification offered to all, because he is the only one who could. He is the Son of God. He is the only one who could come to earth and live the perfect life that we could not live, and then take upon himself your sins and my sins and die in our place. Therefore, satisfying both the penalty for sin, which is death, and God's mercy, God's justification, his forgiveness. It is offered to us, and we can receive it by faith. The condemnation came from one sin. In a very real way, this shows us just how much God hates sin and how contrary sin is to his character. He hates it so much that it only took one sin to condemn the entire human race and separate them from him forever. One sin made Adam and all of his descendants imperfect, unpure, and unworthy to be in the presence of the Holy God. Now, one might think that this sin that Adam committed must have been a bad one. It must have been the granddaddy of all sins, the worst one ever committed. But it wasn't the worst sin. There are sins that are much, much worse. This just happened to be the first. It was the first sin that condemned the human race from God's presence. Had it been possible, any other sin that any other man has ever committed would have been enough to damn the whole human race, just like Adam did. Condemnation came from one sin. In contrast, the justification came for many sins. Where punishment should have and probably really did add up to eternity, the justification of one man paid for the many. The sacrifice of Jesus paid the eternal sentence of not just Adam's sin, but for every sin. Had the justification of Jesus blotted out only the first sin of Adam, the price would yet to be paid for every other sin that had followed. Where one sin condemned, the free gift justified or offered justification to all. Why? Greater than God's hatred for sin is God's love for the sinner. And no place do we better see that grace and love than through the justification offered as a free gift through the sacrifice of his Son. God didn't just do this because he loved Adam. He didn't just do this because he loved certain people. God even loves Terry Lynn Nichols. And he sent his Son to die, his only begotten Son, to die for his sins as well, and to pay his eternal sentence. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. In 1 Corinthians 15:22, it says, "For as in Adam all die," but 2 Corinthians 5:19 says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. And in 1 John 2:2, it says, "And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world." Adam's sin brought judgment and condemnation. Christ brings justification. When Adam sinned, he became and was declared unrighteous. But when a sinner trusts in Jesus Christ, he is justified and declared righteous. Through the sacrifice of one man, justification dramatically contrasted condemnation. It was a free gift. Thirdly, lastly this morning, through one man's sacrifice, life contrasted death. Life contrasted death. Verse 17 says this, For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. This contrast right here is far and away the easiest one for us to understand. It is very easy, at least from a physical perspective, to comprehend the difference between death and life. Okay, in death we are here. Excuse me, in life we are here. In death we are not. In life we do things. In death we don't. I read about a young man who had a loving elderly aunt. But every time a wedding would come up in the family, the aunt would find this young man and she'd elbow him in the ribs and say, "You're next." And it just drove him nuts that she would prod him like this. And he was getting tired of it. And after a while, he said, "I figured out how to stop her. I just started doing the same thing to her at funerals." "You're next." There is no question in anyone's mind that there is a huge difference between death and life. Okay? And in a spiritual sense, that difference is exponential. Back in our passage, in comparison, both Adam and Christ caused a rain. They caused a rain. That is where the similarity ends, though. But they both caused a rain. The word rain, another word we're going to see several more times before the end of the chapter. But that word rain means a ruling factor. Adam's sin caused a rain of death. Prior to the first sin, death did not exist. Nothing had died, nothing could die. But upon the entrance of sin into the world, we saw last week, death entered. Now all men would physically die and they would spiritually die. Death, of course, means separation. Physical death, we are separated from life in our body. In spiritual death, we are separated from God, the very source of life. Adam's sin caused a reign of death. Death ruled. Christ's sacrifice caused a reign of life. 1 Corinthians 15:22. We read the first part of this earlier. It says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." In 2 Timothy 1:10, it says that our Savior, Jesus Christ, has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. In John 5:24, Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life." In comparison, both Adam and Christ caused a reign, but in contrast, Christ replaced death with life. What Adam caused, Christ much more corrected. It was an undesired result replaced by a desired result. While the very first sin was in direct disobedience to what God commanded, and while God directly told them, "Do not eat of the tree, for in that day you shall surely die," I want you to know that neither Adam nor Eve sinned because they wanted to die. They didn't want to die. They sinned because they were deceived into believing that they would become like God. However, their sin produced the exact opposite result, the exact opposite desire from that which they wanted. And death now reigned. Christ, however, produced the exact result that he desired. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." The gift of righteousness was offered. It was an undesired result replaced by a desired result. And also, according to verse 17, it is offered to all, but efficient only to those who receive it. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ was sufficient for every sinner and sin, but only efficient for those who trust in the gift that is being offered. In John 1:12, it says, "But as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." 1 John 5:13 says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the only begotten Son, that you may know that you have eternal life." It is offered to all, but only efficient to those who receive it. It replaces spiritual poverty with spiritual riches. Last half of verse 17 says, "Much more, those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." You see, we, as God's children now, as believers, as receivers of this free gift, are now kings and queens, prince and princesses, reigning in life through Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward those in Christ Jesus." Jesus Christ more than fixed what one man broke. It would be like me bringing my 1995 Toyota Camry with 280,000 miles on it that leaks oil, has worn out suspension and air condition that works occasionally. It would be like me bringing that car to my trusted mechanic to have the air conditioning fixed. But when I go to retrieve it, there is a 2013 Lamborghini. That's more than a fix. That's a good mechanic. That's a good mechanic, but that is the grace of God. That is Jesus Christ. That is Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't just restore Eden through his sacrifice. He offers heaven. He didn't just forgive the sin of Adam. Through his sacrifice, he offers forgiveness for all. He didn't just reverse death. Through his sacrifice, he offers life abundant and eternal. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That is more than fair. That's the grace of God. Let's close in prayer this morning. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for that term this morning, much more. Much more, Lord, than giving us what we deserve. You offer us heaven. Much more than allowing us to wallow in sin and death, Lord, you give us life, an abundant life right now, to where we can even right now still in the situation that we are, Lord, bring you glory. For that we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, that Jesus Christ, while compared to Adam, so greatly, greatly contrasted him and offers us the opportunity to become co-heirs, joint heirs. Lord, for that we thank you this morning. And I pray that this is something that we would never take for granted, but realize who we are in you. And Lord, we thank you just for the incredible continuity of chapter 5 of Romans, showing us what we have, showing us what you have given us, showing us where we came from, and now showing us the beginning of who we are because Christ so contrasted sin and death. And Lord, I do look forward, so forward to chapter 6, which shows us exactly who we are in you and what we have been empowered to do, Lord. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.